Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, live at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery today, 1414 Clinton Street here in Nashville. Having a great time. Philip Forsberg going to join us at the bottom of the hour, so looking forward to that. Predators went 5-1 last night at Bridgestone Arena. Two first-time goal scorers in Reed Schaefer and Ozzie Weisblatt, so congrats to them. And Steven Stamkos with career point number 1,200.
Where does that rank all time? I don't know the...
I don't know. It's pretty good. I have no idea.
Is that your computer?
I believe it's fourth or fifth.
Pretty good.
I'll double check.
I got it right here. Let's see. Most career points. That no, that's not my computer. I don't know what that is.
Not me. I looked up. I haven't looked at the standings in a while. That's Chihuahua. They're way down there.
Let's see. You said fourth or fifth?
Yeah, there was a stat sheet that was on Twitter saying it was like fourth or fifth out of like a certain amount of games.
Oh, a certain amount of games. Gotcha. All time, he is. I'm still looking.
It's all right, buddy. Take your time. We got another hour.
Yeah, he's not in the top 50.
By the way, Colorado's 19-1-6.
Yeah.
Good Lord. They've lost one game.
Yeah.
The whole overtime loss thing is just stupid to me. Just if you lose, you lose. You shouldn't get any points. But they've got one loss in
regulation. That's why they call it the loser point.
That's pretty rude.
Well, you know.
They're 19-1. That's
at least they're not talentless losers. They got some talent to get that point.
I mean, they're 19-1. The Preds are 9-13 like that. 44 points. I mean, they're just torching people left and right.
Yeah, but they won three of their last four. So maybe this, you know, I feel like this is the best stretch they've had in a while. So if they can get something going out of this, but they got to go to Florida and they got to go to Raleigh to play the Hurricanes, two really tough places to play. But they're only 6 points out of a playoff spot. So
say if you win five. So you get five-game winning streaks happen all the time.
Yep.
That's 10 points. You immediately go from last, you're right almost third in the conference.
Yep. You're in a good spot.
You turn it on. Why don't you go down there and motivate them, Chase?
They're 4-6-0 in their last 10, which is, again, trending in the right direction.
I want you to go take Apollo Creed's speech on the beach from Rocky III and go read it to the Predators. Because, hell, they don't know what Rocky III speech is.
Okay.
You could do that.
All right.
And say, there is no tomorrow. Well, that went on the beach. But whatever.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, damn, Rock, what are you doing? You're like, damn, Soros, what are you doing?
I wish they let Clark Lee read the lineup last night. I'd like to do that. I haven't done anything to earn that opportunity, but I would love to do that.
I would love, but mispronounce all the names. Like, Roman Jossi, you're doing this. Philip Foghorn, you're next. Go down, just butcher him so bad.
And in goal, Jesse Saris.
All of them, so bad. Stan, I'd love to see read Marcia's show wrong.
Marchesnut.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, they'd laugh, forget about it, go out and win a game, and you're back every week doing
Coast.
That. So they have celebrity lineup readers?
Sometimes. Like, they, you know, it depends. I mean, but sometimes the coaches will ask. Like, they let Crispy do it. Crispy and Sheila do it a few weeks ago.
Well, yeah, because they're warranted.
Clark did it yesterday, which I think was cool. But they won't ever ask me, but it'd be fun.
It would
be so much fun.
Be like, it's like that episode of Homer when he's gone bald and that lady in the audience is like,
who is this bald?
Who the hell is this guy saying that? Oh, I'd love this. This would be great. But anyway,
it's cool, too. Like, you walk in, and you're just like, all right, here we go. Yost. You know, and you got to do the last names. Higger. And
Osblatt. Is that his name?
Wazzy Osblatt, yeah.
I like that name. Wisey?
Or Oz.
Okay.
I think he's – but, yeah, Wisey. I've heard Wisey.
Okay. Oh, well, that's a cool name.
Yep.
It's no Darcy Hordachuk, but it's a cool name.
Yeah, what was he, Hordy?
May
have been.
My favorite nickname for all of them was Leguan.
Leggy?
Donkey.
Oh, yeah.
From Shrek.
Yeah.
Shea Weber opened up about that more than any other time I interviewed him.
Oh, yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, he wouldn't shut up. I'm like, I go, Shay. He's like, oh, yeah, and then Donkey. I was like, okay, thanks. Hey, Shay, how'd you play last night? No, it's all right.
Yeah, it's fine.
Belichick, he's off and done
with it. Shay, what about baseball? Man, I love the Blue Jays.
Right? He told me one time he was in a – I don't know if this is accurate or not. Shay Weber was in a fantasy baseball league with Geddy Lee from Rush.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
I wanted – that's all I wanted to talk about. He wouldn't have none of
it. He takes his fantasy baseball very seriously.
He does. Big Blue Jay fan.
Yep.
That's he what was to get all, your butt back up there to Toronto, man.
He was all about it. So, yeah, so the Predators win last night, and it was good to see, you know, those guys get in on the action. Again, Philip Forsberg will join at the bottom of the hour. I mean, the funny thing about Weisblatt is he should already have scored a goal. Like, he's had multiple chances, and it's just they haven't gone in. And so finally get that first one, and we'll see what happens. But Schaefer only in his third game has already got 2 points. I believe, to his name.
Heck
so.
Yeah. So they're on the road now. Where are we going?
Florida Panthers tomorrow.
I'll do that trip.
Carolina Hurricanes on Saturday, and then back here Tuesday for Colorado.
Oh, no.
Against Colorado, and the game starts at 8:30 at home.
Why are we doing that?
Because it's on TNT.
Does it matter? Does TNT not know there's also a 7 o'clock?
Yeah,
I'm not doing that.
But they stick the Predators on late.
But that's fun. Like national TV, that's fine. Put it on there. Let more people see
it'll
it.
It'll be great. It'll, you know, get that audience. But
well, we should have got the Florida trip. That would have been fun. Go down there. I'm all about all palm trees.
Would have been fun.
Yeah.
We like Florida.
Why don't you pull a little some strings over there?
I'm working
you
on
got
it.
Some clout.
I'm working on it. Sean listens all the time. He knows.
Well, that's our GM. Hey, listen.
I want to do the other one.
Now I want to read the card lineup. Now I'm going to do that. Like you, I've earned no reason to be asked to do
Sean
that.
Sean Henry, if you're listening, Joe and I would like a 2-game road trip and for each of us to do the lineup. I don't think we're asking for a whole lot.
Why did he block me on Twitter and Instagram?
Just got a text. Stop calling me.
No, yeah, right? Leave me alone.
Can we throw a Zamboni ride there, too?
We'll give you that. You can ride the Zam.
Dr. Crane, you don't remember this. When they transferred the Zamboni from Centennial Sportsplex to Bridgestone in 98, it got hit on Broadway. True story. Right? Pete Weber, if you're listening, you remember this. Somebody rear-ended the Zamboni coming down west end of Broadway to go to Bridgestone. It would have been in the summer, spring of 98. It happened.
That is fantastic. By the way, somebody the Barstool Penn State account has said Penn State National Signing Day, and it's that gif of Will Smith from The Fresh Prince in the empty room.
Looking around. Yeah. I thought they used Travolta from Pulp Fiction when he was doing that, looking around. That's a serious problem.
Yeah.
Penn State has no coach. They got no recruits.
They got nobody.
What are they going to do? And Bill O'Brien's not thinking. He said last night he's staying at Boston College. Jimmy Frank flipped all the recruits. Would you say they went from 125 to 20, Virginia Tech? Crazy.
21 to 25.
Heupel should take that job. Stay one step ahead of the jailer. Go, Josh. Go. I'm sure a lot of Tennessee fans be like, all right, take care.
You know it's going to be hilarious when they're sitting around and they're like, what do we do? And the door swings open and in walks Brian Kelly.
Mike.
I mean, could you do worse?
You're on back on the national landscape.
Could you
again?
Do worse right now?
Jake, there's nobody out there. Nobody
I know.
Left.
That's what I'm saying.
Jimbo?
Jeff Brohm told him, like, he's told Louisville he has no intentions of leaving. Yeah, I mean, Jimbo's one. You're going to have to – I mean, that's what you're going to have to do at this point. You're going to have to go – unless the Joe Brady stuff is true.
I've heard nothing else about it. You know who should go there and coach as a stopgap? Munchak.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mike Munchak.
The fan base would hate it, but.
He's a boy.
Yeah.
He's one of yours.
I mean, they could have brought Billy O back, but he's staying at
he ain't going to that
Boston name. College.
Stay in Boston College, man. Yeah. Expectations
are he didn't do it. Look, games. I mean, considering the situation he inherited when he took that job, he actually did a pretty good job.
Got out of Dodge. He's only, 3 years, I think, or two or three. Then he left to go to
Houston.
Houston, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, you think of it, he had the bull band and, like, all the stuff. With the Paterno and all that.
See, the firing of these coaches is gonna make coaches like, I'm not going there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, unless you're paying me so much money to do that. But why go get the heartache?
Well, who's the is there a guy that like hasn't been mentioned at all for that job that all of a sudden is going to come out of the woodwork? Like a Josh Heupel would put in that category.
DJ Durkin staying at Auburn. Somebody that's up that he's coached at Maryland.
Like Marcus Freeman. If Marcus Freeman did what Brian Kelly did and
you left. Are adamant about getting him out of Notre Dame. You're like, if Marcus Freeman goes here, there. I mean,
I think they should be forced to join a damn conference. So maybe
well,
that's
call
my
him and
problem.
Tell him. You're on message boards all the time.
I just tell Pete. Pete will tell.
Pete will get it down and get it done. No, I don't know who Penn State can get. I really don't. I mean, the BYU coach, I'm not going to pronounce his name because I'll get fired because I don't know how to pronounce it. He's happy where he is. But Neil Brown went to North Tech. He was never considered, but that's a job filled. Orgeron evidently wants the Tulane job.
Yeah.
That goes on.
Which that be? I don't think that's a terrible idea.
I think I'm with you on the Brian Kelly to Penn State. Plug him in.
He's getting his buyout. The LSU has ruled that he was fired without cause, so he's getting the full buyout.
Is cause because he's a jackass?
I don't think you can.
I'm with you, man. Brian Kelly, Penn
Why
State.
Not? Why not?
You're back coaching immediately. You can shove it in LSU's face.
Why not? By the way, I laughed at this because this popped up on my Twitter feed. It was a clip of the Johnny Carson show, and 93-year-old George Burns was his guest. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't, but I love George Burns.
It says, a 15 to 20 cigar a day George Burns, when asked by Carson, what does his doctor say? He goes, I don't know. My doctor's dead.
Oh, weird, wild stuff.
I mean, he's sitting there smoking a cigar with Carson.
George Burns was great. Did it say what year it was?
No. I mean, it looks probably
late
80s or early 90s. And Carson's looking older.
He was George Burns was in a movie called Oh God with John Denver, which is a fantastic, fantastic movie. Then he did another movie where he was a bank. Him and his two buddies were bank robbers. It was Lee Strasberg and somebody else, and they robbed banks. His old man. It was really good, and it was sad too because they like missed their families and everything. But George Burns, man, say goodnight, Gracie. Goodnight, Gracie.
Coming up next, we'll get you updated on early signing day.
Will we?
I don't know.
We just want more eggnog.
Yeah, more eggnog, all of that. Philip Forsberg at the bottom of the hour, chasing Big Joe, 102.5 the game. Big Joe, 102.5 the game.
Trying to find Penn State a coach.
Yeah,
maybe that comes by there.
We're making some calls.
Let's see what we can do. No recruits, no coach. What a great day to be a Nittany Lion.
How long have we been dancing to the Bee Gees?
A good minute and a half, maybe.
Oh, okay, good. Yeah, well, you know, sorry about that.
Who was that? That was not the Bee Gees. Who was that?
Oh, yeah, who was
that? Oh, the Tramps?
The who?
Disco Inferno, right?
Yeah.
That's also a great scene when John Candy's fighting in stripes, the mud wrestling. They're playing that song.
By the way, speaking of wrestling, what's that? That's a good segue. The Pro Wrestling Symphony is coming to Brooklyn Bowl this Sunday. Don't miss the first downtown Nashville steel cage match in nearly a decade as Shane Mercer faces Mad Dog Connolly, plus big matches, live music, and wrestling legend Jerry Lynn will be there. The first steel cage match downtown was Hope Hines and Paul Kuharsky.
Really?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. I'm about to beat this annoying Yankees ass.
Caller number 5, 615-737-1025 will win a pair of tickets to that. We'll actually give away a few winners, so just call it.
Still my favorite media beef battle of all time.
Oh, that's a good one.
All time. I'm not going to get into it. It's about a 10-minute story, but if you see me on
Pogue
the street,
tells
I'll
it the
tell
best.
You. Pogue wasn't there.
I thought Pogue was
me
there.
Me and Kuz were there in the locker room, standing right next to it when it all went down.
Maybe Pogue was there for another one.
Probably. But it was – you see me – I'll tell you the story sometime if you want to know between Hope Hines about laid Paul Kuharsky out. Paul will deny it, but Paul was scared to death. And to this day, I think Hope Hines has bodies in his backyard.
You don't mess with Hope.
Throughout the year. Hello, everybody. Hope Hines.
Tonight, Vanderbilt men's basketball takes on SMU at Memorial Gym. An 8:15 tip with pregame starting at, I think it's 7:30 on 102.5 The Game.
Can you name the greatest SMU basketball player of all time? No. I bet somebody could text it in, and we'll give you an attaboy. He played for the Atlanta Hawks. The greatest SMU basketball player of all time. Let us know who you think it is. Willie Donick knows.
I do not know.
615-737-1025. I played fantasy basketball in the 90s with 12 other guys. I knew every player, it was so much fun to do fantasy basketball. I mean, I told you I lost a game one time. I was at Bellevue Pub. I was working at the Bellevue Pub. Detlef Schrimp had to score 30 points to beat me. He scored 32. And I'm watching. There's nobody. I'm watching TV. And I say, damn, that damn Shrimp. And a guy tried to fight me at the bar because he thought I was talking about him. True story. This is in February of 1995. Because if Detlef Schrimp scored 32 in a game and beat me in fantasy basketball, and the after effect was some guy thought I called him a shrimp at a bar and wanted to fight me. Good times, man.
Well, good.
How many tabs you got open over there?
Too many.
16?
Answering emails, you know.
Not bar tabs. We're talking tabs on his computer. 12 is his bar
just
tabs.
Keeping, I have to keep tabs on you. It's like my full-time,
right, you better.
Full-time job.
You know what I'm saying, man?
Oh, yeah. Oh, there it is.
Yeah, right. I know, man. We got to get a football coach down here in Memphis. Ryan Silverstone left us and went over somewhere in Arkansas. And I said, man, you cross that river, you can cross me. And he left and went over to Fayetteville, which I don't go to anytime.
So are there any of these fired coaches that would make sense at places like Memphis or Tulane?
Well,
or?
They redid the Liberty Bowl. I mean, so yeah. They're putting – Fred Smith gave a lot of money to
like
that
Sam
school.
Pittman. Does Sam Pittman land any of these jobs?
Probably not. Don't get me started on Sam Pittman.
Billy Napier. Billy Napier at Memphis would make sense.
Why not? Right? What does a coach love to do?
Coach.
Coach. Right? Yeah. So go, yeah. Billy Napier would be fine there. Go back there and try.
Now, I wouldn't blame him, you know, any of these guys to sit out and enjoy the buyout.
Right.
You know, for a year, but.
Easily for a year. Yeah. I mean, good for those guys.
Memphis announces Brian Kelly is their new head coach.
You'd love it, too. So Brian Kelly is going to Penn State. We're not worried about that.
I think so.
Need a coach. Why not go get Napier?
7606 says Munchak needs to be the Titans offensive line coach next year. I would sign up for that. Matthew in Nashville. Jimbo would be an interesting one, but does he want one, though, because he's still getting the A&M buyout money till 2031.
Here's the thing about Jimbo, right? What's the last thing you remembered for? You were terrible at A&M.
Yeah, right.
So would you not want to go and say, I'm a good coach?
Yep.
And go do that? But Penn State's in a world of mess, man. We laugh about it. But you got no coach, got no recruits. That's a problem.
Wes in Hermitage. What's up, Wes?
What's up, guys? I've been beating my head with these college playoff rankings. Well, it's kind of hard when you're a Vandy fan and you beat Tennessee by 21 points in Knoxville, and they're like, nah, you're not good enough. So I've got a question for you, and maybe this will help understand whether there's brand bias in these rankings. Why is Texas ranked ahead of Vanderbilt? That's the first question.
Head-to-head.
Head-to-head. Okay, I like that answer. So can somebody please explain to me how Notre Dame is ranked above Miami if we're using that same exact principle?
That is a great question. We talked about that earlier. It doesn't make sense, but they're Notre Dame. That's why.
Mm-hmm.
They're Notre Dame.
Well, I mean, if you got to have gold helmets, is it just a different shade of gold? Do they not understand Vanderbilt's gold, too? I mean, come on now. This is crazy, Chase. You cannot have a 10-2 SEC team play a schedule like Vanderbilt – and not make the playoffs. If this is Kentucky, if it's Georgia, Alabama, it doesn't matter. If you put any other SEC school in this schedule and you have that win-to-loss ratio, they're in. I don't understand it. We're being penalized for being in the SEC. That makes no sense.
Well, no, I think they're being penalized because they're Vanderbilt. I mean, I think TV network, even though Pavia would be such a draw, but I think, I don't know. I don't trust any of these things. Thanks for the call, Wes. Always appreciate you. I don't trust, you know, this process. I mean, I know that there's good people on the panel that make the vote. Obviously, we know one of them, and Chris Massaro.
Yeah, right.
But I still, it's like, I just, things don't make sense.
No, and that's why Archie Manning got off this committee years ago. I didn't want to be around because it's really a no-win kind of thing. It's great, the prestige and all that, man, but I mean, nobody's going to be happy. I mean, you're going to have two or three teams who are not happy every single year. And don't come at me about expanding it to 16, because in the 17th and 18th team, you're going to be pissed off. I mean, it's an endless cycle of people being pissed off. When it was 4, 5, and 6 were mad. Then you go to 12, 13, 14 are mad. And go
on and on and on. Oh, sorry, that was, oh, no, okay. It was the wrong one.
Yeah. Where are you, you're like a fire drill? You're getting out of here? Don't I know something?
No, I was going to order something.
Oh, okay.
My bad. Alan from Little Rock says, Chase, Pittman took his buyout money from Arkansas and is calling it a career. He's already got his retirement home on the lake. I would sign me up.
Yeah, right?
If I was Sam Pittman, I would do the exact same thing.
Good. He lied about Isaiah Wilson.
Did he lie or just not tell the whole truth?
I just lied. I mean, how? Honestly, for those that know, Sam Pittman was Isaiah Wilson's O-line coach at Georgia in 2019. How could you miss so bad on that? And don't give me the COVID BS. How could you miss so bad on Isaiah Wilson? I don't blame Robinson for this. Not at all. I blame Robinson for Caleb Farley and for Burks. Where's Burks? I blame him. I don't blame for Isaiah Wilson. Isaiah Wilson in 2018, 2019 at Georgia was a mauler. He was a great player at Georgia. What the hell happened? So I don't blame Robinson for that at all.
What's up, Drew? Coming up next, Philip Forsberg going to join us as they took on Calgary Flames last night, 1-5-1, head to Florida. In the air as we speak, so we talked to him earlier today. Philip joins the show next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Predators defeat the Calgary Flames at Bridgestone Arena last night, 5-1, 1,200 points for Steven Stamkos. And we talked to his teammate, Philip Forsberg, who is on the line with us now. Phil, got to feel pretty good about that one last night.
Yeah, that was good. A lot of, like you said, big milestones, 2 first goals, and obviously 1,200 points is unbelievable for Stammer. So that was... Yeah, definitely needed to get back on the winning track at home. So it was great to do it with such a special night.
You mentioned the 2 first goals. Reed Schaefer, who's in just his 3rd NHL game, and then Ozzie Weisblatt. I laughed at Stammer last night in his post-game interview, basically said he should have 20 by now with all the chances he's gotten. I know you guys had to love that because you got Ozzie, who's been here working hard, and then Reed Schaefer, who just got called up. That had to be special.
Oh, for sure. Just like I said, starting with Ozzie, he's been playing unbelievable hockey for us. And like Stammer said in that presser, certainly have had his looks. But, you know, first one is the hardest one to get. That's what they always say. So hopefully they'll come a little easier for him now, because I think he's doing a lot of really good things for us. And Chafe has looked great, too. He stepped right into that fourth line role and brings a heavy physical game, and he's strong around the net. And the goal was obviously a great example of that.
Do you remember your first goal?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'll never forget that.
That was, let's see, what, 2013, I think?
Yeah, that would be it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Minnesota at home.
That a boy. That's right. Because I think you had a point in those first 5 games that you played when you first came over. But, yeah, it was fun. So you've won 3 of your last 4. Are we starting to kind of see some confidence from you guys, and this is what you guys know you can be?
Yeah, I think those 2 games that we won on the road was really good hockey games. I think maybe first period in Chicago maybe wasn't the best, but I think, you know, over the whole game in Detroit, we stuck with it and we got rewarded in the third. And in Chicago, like I said, after that first, I think we took over the game and played a solid game. And yeah, even the Winnipeg game was a little bit of a 50-50 game, I think, but could have gone either way. If we get one more, we get some looks in the third, we get one more, we're right, you know, tie the game, and who knows what happens. So I think that one was... You know, two teams on the end of a back-to-back that might not have been the most exciting NHL match in the history. But then, like I said, last night we bounced back to maybe a little sloppy in second half of the first. But, yeah, then we took over. And obviously second period, again, was really good for us and kind of gave us a cushion in the third.
Philip Forsberg is with us on Chasing Big Joe. You know, along those lines, if you do have a period that maybe you wish you played a little bit better, you guys are showing that you can overcome that, where earlier in the season that was a problem. So how much confidence does that give you that even if things don't go your way, you're able to overcome it within the game?
Yeah, no, it's definitely right. I think we've gotten hardened, battle hardened, you know, as the season has gone on. And obviously we've seen pretty much every example of how it's going to go, whether we're up, down, you know, up by a lot, down by a lot, going into second or third period. We've seen pretty much anything already in the first 26 games here. And I think that, you know, is something that you learn from. And I think our team has done a great job with that, especially as of late, to just kind of sticking with the process no matter what the result. And obviously the Florida game a few weeks ago was a bad example, but at the same time, we learned some stuff from that as well. So I think that going into, like you said, this stretch where we've been getting some more results, that's definitely a little bit because of what we've gone through earlier.
You guys as players are the ones that have to execute this, but obviously Andrew and his staff are there with you. How much has he been a big part of helping you guys get through this stretch, knowing that he's been through these battles as a player as well?
No, I think a lot. I think all the coaching staff has, you know, experience playing and coaching a ton of it. And it helps, you know, you obviously, like you said, they know what we're going through, and not that it makes it easier by any means necessarily, but they, at least they know the grind. They know the value of sticking with it. And sometimes that get lost on you as a player, because you know, you want results immediately, obviously, especially when you feel like you're doing a lot of the right things. You want to get rewarded, but that's not how the game of hockey works sometimes. You got to work for it. And then, like you said, I think the coaches have done a great job keeping things in perspective for the players and more focusing on the process than result. But it is a result-driven business, so it certainly has been nice to see some of those points tick in for us lately here.
Talking with Philip Forsberg, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you since Sweden. I know you had to have had a blast going to your home country. It looked awesome. I wish I was there, but it looked like it was such a fun trip.
Yeah, it was great. It was, I mean, everything except the last game, I guess, was everything we could ask for. The first game was super special with National Anthem. And even the guys on the bench said they had chills. And yeah, I certainly had that times 100. And that was special. It was really cool for me, obviously, and for Willie to be able to play in our home city or home country, and for him, home city in Stockholm. So it was special, and I'm really, really glad we got to do that.
You've scored some clutch goals in your career, but I know that one has to be towards the top, considering where it was.
Yeah, well, yes. I mean, definitely considering where it was, but also how, you know, that late we won nothing game in a game where we outplayed him pretty much the whole time. That would have been a hard one to swallow if that would have been a 1-0 loss, you know. Yeah. But like you said, same thing there. We battled back and we found a way. And then when Stammer put that in, overtime winner, and that was one of the better feelings for sure.
Also, last time we talked, you mentioned that you were going to try and put Felix on skates at some point. I feel like I've seen that on social media that you tried it out. How do you do?
Yeah, we did. We went to the public, the ice thing out there by Opry, where they have an ice sheet out, and he loved it. He, you know, he's certainly not supporting himself, but for a year and a half, we weren't really expecting that. So, but he loved it. He had such a good time, and my back was really sore the next day from half carrying him, half letting him glide around there, but well worth it.
Well, when do you obviously probably don't remember this, but maybe your parents do, of when you finally got it and could support yourself? I mean, is he close, you think?
No, I think he's certainly probably at this point next year, maybe, but that might be a stretch.
Right.
Even that, you know, because that's 2.5, but I don't know. I don't remember this, but my parents told me a story that when they first, you know, because I've been playing street hockey or mini sticks or whatever you want to call it, and then they put skates on, and all of a sudden I was, you know, take these skates off because I wanted to play, you know, because I couldn't stand up and falling all over the place. But, you know, once you get the hang of it, it's there's no going back. So we definitely would like to, yeah, you know, we'll probably be back out there again before the place closed up, and then we got our family Christmas skate. So he'll get some experience at least, and as long as he loves it, we'll keep doing it.
Very nice. You got the defending, two-time defending Stanley Cup champions coming up tomorrow as you start a two-game road trip in Florida and Carolina. Two tough places to play, but with last night's win, I feel like you guys got some confidence going into that. How big would it be to keep this going at two really tough places?
No, like you said, it's probably two of the toughest places to play in the NHL. Obviously, Florida with their, as you just mentioned, their record last, I mean, not even 2 years, 3 years, they've been the best team in the NHL. And Carolina is one of the toughest places to play, and they're playing at a really high level as well. So we got to bring our A game. And, you know, obviously as Florida, that was certainly not the game we wanted against them last time. So it'd be nice to get a crack at them again, especially after how that went down last time. So we'll start there and see how it goes.
Well, good luck on it, and we'll see you back at home here in a couple games. Always appreciate your time, my friend, and we'll talk soon.
All righty. Sounds good. Take care.
That's Philip Forsberg joining us here on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We will come back with more from Nelson's Greenbrier here on this Wednesday on 102.5 The Game.
Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Wednesday. Oh, this is good. You're feeling it today, Dr. Crane. I like it.
Why not? Feel it every day, man.
All I want to do is live today at Nelson's Greenbrier. Again, 1414 Clinton Street. Festive cocktails and Tennessee whiskey. That's what you get here at Greenbrier Distillery. Holiday magic. Sip, tour, taste, repeat at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, just minutes from downtown Nashville. And appreciate them for having us today. We sampled the whiskey nog. They had to take it away from Joe because he wanted more. But no, it was. I'm kidding. It was very good. Very good.
It was when he first said whiskey nog. We're like, explain that again, will you? Do you mind?
Sign me up. We'll take that. With that, let's get to America's favorite game with the home version available for Christmas. What day is it? And celebrity birthdays. I can tell you right now, if they release a home version, there's two people that I would send it to. Just
all right. Oh, my gosh.
First one, so we have Steve. Not Steve Harvey. That's what I was thinking about, the other guy. Sorry. Special Kids Day is today. Rockefeller Center Christmas lighting is today. I did not know that. Nice. National Roof Over Your Head Day. Thankful as always.
It's important.
National Apple Pie Day.
Love apple pie.
Was told something about pie this morning. National Green Bean Casserole Day.
Dr. Crane, what'd I tell you?
Don't
you
give away your pie for free.
Give away your pie for free.
Never. National Green Bean Casserole Day is today.
Ooh, I like that too.
You could pair that with National Peppermint Latte Day. I don't know if that's really good, but you know, maybe with the apple pie. National Package Protection Day. A lot of fragile packages out there.
Always. Is there another name for that?
Always protect your package.
I swear my mother had another name for that when I was growing up. I couldn't remember.
Isn't that called a cup?
I thought it was something else that started with an R.
Oh, that too.
They're all fragile. Let's Hug Day is today. You could probably, never mind. Make a Gift Day is today. International Day of Persons with Disabilities. And to wrap it up, we have Choose Women Wednesday. So there you go.
To wrap it up, it all comes home. All right, time for celebrity birthdays. Get these within two. Dr. Crane, you get to go first. How old is former Indy 500 champion Rick Mears?
60.
76.
74. Chase on the board, 1-0. Chase, how old is former East German skater Katharina Wiegt?
56.
50.
60. Dr. Crane, how old is former Braves pitcher? I think he's a broadcaster now. Paul Bird.
He is.
66.
52.
55. Chase, you get to go. How old is actress Daryl Hannah? Wasn't she in the movie with Tom? What was that movie with Tom Hanks and John Candy? She was the mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
Can't remember.
67.
64.
65. Tied at one. Dr. Crane, how old is actress Julianne Moore?
I'm going to go 53.
46.
65. Chaser, how old is Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser?
Is that Nick's cousin?
It is. Nick, your cousin's famous.
Thank you.
61.
Oh, let's see. He was in that whale movie, wasn't he?
Yes.
I'm going to go 57.
57, exactly. Dr. Curran. All right, Chase gets to go now. Comedian Tiffany Haddish. H-A-D-D-I-S-H. She's very funny. Tiffany Haddish.
38.
39.
46. Dr. Crane, Anna Chomsky. She was in the movie with Macaulay Culkin where he died from a bee sting. And Dan Aykroyd, they ran a funeral home.
I'm going to go with 59.
57.
44. Chase, get to go. Singer Mickey Thomas of Jefferson Starship. He's saying, we built this city.
71.
77.
76. Dr. Crane's up 4-1. Dr. Crane, you get to go now. How old is This Is How We Do It? Singer Montel Jordan.
66.
53.
57. Dr. Crane, remember when D'Angelo Vickers broke his neck doing that, dunking to Montel Jordan?
Yeah.
On The Office? Chase, how old is actor Brian Bonsall from Star Trek The Next Generation? He had really bright blue eyes. I think you described him as adorable one time.
I don't remember what he did.
Star Trek Next Generation.
71.
54.
44. Dr. Crane, singer-songwriter Andy Grammer.
Andy Grammer is 44.
45.
42. Dr. Crane's at 5-1. The last birthday we have here is how old is, where'd he go? Actor-comedian Royale Watkins. Chase, you get to answer that. How old's Royale Watkins?
47.
53.
56. And with that, Dr. Crane, very methodical, 5-1 today.
Thank you very much.
Didn't the Preds win last night 5-1?
They did.
See, everything comes full circle. Did you look at Brian Bonsall?
Yeah, I don't remember him.
Maybe he doesn't remember you. Greg Pope says Mickey Thomas saying, fooled around and fell in love.
Oh, well, thank you, Greg. We appreciate
that. By Elvin Bishop. Did Elvin Bishop not sing that then?
He did sing it.
Greg says Mickey Thomas sang it. So, Greg, who is it, Elvin Bishop or was it Mickey Thomas?
They both could have done it. I don't know. That is going to do it for us today here at Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, 1414 Clinton Street here in downtown Nashville. I just had the broccoli cheddar soup. It was fantastic. The food was fantastic, and appreciate them for having us today.
Absolutely. As we leave every show every day to our guys out there, if you're going through some things, I know you're struggling, please reach out and talk to somebody on your cell phone. Immediately you can dial 988. Somebody's always there for you. We have help available. Please reach out to us if you need to talk. I'm telling you, I don't care what time it is. I'm talking to you guys at midnight, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I love it because I know you're reaching out. That means you want to be here. And I say all the time, I'd rather hear your story than go to your funeral. I know that's harsh, but I'm telling you, we love you, and our world's a better place because you are here. And there are people in this world, when they hear your name, they smile. You make them laugh. They look forward to seeing you. That's everybody. So please know there are people in this world that love you. We love you. And more importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. DVD coming your way next on 102.5 The Game.